Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source, we truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. NBA Draft Junkies, the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, LakerHolics.com, and the Hoopheads Podcast Network. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, we can just for a moment take a deep breath, catch our breath, because the season's over and the play-ins are about to start, starting tomorrow as we record this with the Eastern Conference play-ins. But I thought I'd take a little bit of a time out to talk to a good friend of mine, not what we usually talk about, but what we're going to talk about as far as season-ending awards. So I thought I'd throw a little bit of change of pace for him. It is a man who hosts on Mondays and Thursdays the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. And also, of course, he's the mastermind behind NBADraftJunkies.com. He's a man who Jamie Sweet has just said in the comment board, "What's up, Raf? It's going well. It is a good man indeed. It is Rafael Barlow, my good friend. How are you? I know busy is always part of that sentence."
Yeah, I'm doing good. I don't know if I'm the mastermind. That's kind of like big shoes to fill, but I am.
You've got some big shoes to fill, my friend. I mean, because the podcast that's Locked On, you've got all the stuff that's going on with over 14,000 subscribers on YouTube on your NBA Draft Junkies channel. You've got great videos going there, including some exclusive ones, an exclusive one you just dropped, actually. You've got so much more going on there. Your podcast today that you dropped as we're recording this, you almost had it just like that guest that that a lot of people want. But if, you know what? You still had a great podcast nonetheless as far as covering the first round, the playoffs. You had talking about some great workouts that you've seen firsthand. And, of course, not the J. Cole League, but the Basketball Africa League. So, you know, I know J. Cole League has been called, but no, it's called the Basketball African League. And I wanted to hear a lot about that because I know there's some great prospects that will be here playing in the NBA eventually. So that's what I wanted to hear about the most. But again, a great podcast from you nonetheless, my friend, and people should check it out right away.
Thanks for listening. It's one of those things where, you know, when you do your podcast, you never know who's actually listening and who's actually, you know, listening all the way through. I know there's times where I'll turn on a podcast and I listen to like the first 2 minutes and then I go on about my day. So I appreciate each and every person that has taken time out of their day, whether they're on their way to work or they're at work or whatever, just listening to the podcast, because, you know, it started off as a hobby, which, you know, I've mentioned it plenty of times. I thank you for kind of putting me on the game. It was maybe around give or take a few weeks, a year ago at this time that I started. And, you know, it's been a fast rise as I'm on the Locked On Network, and then I have the show on Dash Radio. So thank you for having me on as a guest and then also giving me advice and, you know, telling me how to get started. So now it's like, damn, I'm about to really try to make this a career. And the next step for me, the next goal is to do TV. Like, I really want to be like a guest analyst during draft time. So I'm trying to put more of my podcasts on video on YouTube now, which it kind of kills two birds with one stone. It allows me to get my content up, which gets my subscribers up, which allows me to, you know, generate some type of income. So again, so thank you. So I kind of went on a tangent there, but
No, no worries, my friend. This is all because of you. You've worked so hard. You've earned this. Ever since I checked out your site years ago and tried to reach out to you years ago. And unfortunately, we didn't cross paths then. But I was so glad that I came back and got a chance to meet you. And over the many times we've talked, over the many shows that we've done together, just seeing how your whole NBA Draft Junkies experience has grown by leaps and bounds. And I'm so happy that the Locked On Podcast Network has reached out to you and made you an integral part of their team. I know it's to their benefit. And I know that going forward, your show, especially the ones that you do, are going to be the major part of that network. And I cannot congratulate enough for you for your success. And I'm hoping that will relate onto a platform, like you said, to a video platform where people can watch you, whether it may be NBA TV or other streaming or video outlets, that you can provide your expertise to a larger, more just a general audience that can appreciate your work up front.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's I just got to figure out a better way of getting my podcast done at a decent time. Like the last few weeks, I've probably started recording at like 11 p.m. and then I finished at 3 because I'm so like particular about the editing and editing out the ums and making sure that everything I said was accurate. As you can imagine, sometimes when you're talking to yourself and you're going off the top of your head, you may have some inaccurate information or you may say something wrong. But if I can just get better at time, then I'll be a little bit more productive. But I'm thankful and grateful for, I guess, the success that I've been able to have in such a short amount of time.
I know I had to edit two podcasts this morning, and I repeat this morning because it started around 10, 11 p.m. and then I go all the way to 4 for both my shows that dropped on Monday. So I know how that is. I know, like you said, you want to be very particular. You want to provide the consumers and listeners out there a good product that they can listen to and not try to go ahead and, oh, I can't decipher what they're trying to say because it's interrupted by a whole bunch of junk in between. So I truly sympathize with you and know that on Monday mornings when I'm trying to get mine done, I know you're trying to get yours done as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen 4 o'clock, I've seen 5 o'clock. Then I have to get up and work and start my day. And luckily, I was able to get a quick nap in today, but I have to make sure I don't oversleep. But it's all worth it.
Well, I do want to thank Michael Johnson, Jamie Sweet, V Garcia, Anthony Johnson. They're already on the hotline in the comments already. Today, like I said, we're going to discuss the season-ending awards, and we're going to hand out some season-ending awards as far as the NBA is concerned. And we'll see what happens there for our picks for a range of the type of awards that are out there. But I do thank everybody for watching and listening. First up, my friend, I think we'll touch on this, and that is the coach of the year. The coach never gets enough respect, but gets a lot of the blame, as we've seen in both Lakerland and also right now in Portland, especially if there's an early exit there. Terry Stotts, that hot seat will be flaming, like Cheetos flaming hot, if something happened. I mean, you even mentioned it on your show about how that seat is going to be hot if they lose in the first round and there's an early exit there. So I want to hear your thoughts on your choice, a couple picks maybe, or your main choice, of course, for Coach of the Year.
This is the toughest to decide because, Utah Jazz, you have to factor in how their season ended last year with all the different articles about Donovan and Rudy Gobert not getting along. Rudy Gobert being the face of COVID or the shutdown in a sense. Woj had a pretty negative article. Then they lost Donovan for what, the last 2 to 3 weeks, and they still ended up with the number one seed in the Western Conference. So Quinn Snyder for Coach of the Year is, if that's the choice there, it's not a bad choice at all. Then on the other hand, you have to look at what Monty Williams has done with the Phoenix Suns. I don't think they've been in the playoffs since what, Steve Nash, Sean Marion. I mean, it's probably been, what was the last time they were in the playoffs? The year before Nash became a Laker?
Yes. I think that's
So,
2011.
yeah, so it's been like 10 years. So on one hand, he deserves a vote. Then you got what Tibbs has done in New York, which, the Knicks hadn't been in the playoffs for what, since Melo, Stoudemire days.
And I know Vegas had them like 22 wins, I think, targeted, according to our friends at NBA Carousel. So, yeah.
So, I mean, I think the Suns had expectations. The Jazz had some expectations. I mean, I don't think anybody saw the Suns as the number two seed, but I didn't think anyone ever saw the Knicks as, you know, a playoff team. Then you got Nate McMillan, even though he didn't start the season, I think he's done a pretty good job. So coach of the year is definitely going to be tough. Then, you know, Steve Nash isn't really getting credit, even though his roster is talented from, you know, top to bottom. But then Doc Rivers, you know, it's his first year in Philly. So coach of the year is going to be tough, but for whatever reason, I think with the media and New York being the media capital of the world, I think they're going to give it to Tibbs.
Well, who would you pick, though?
Who would I pick?
Know who. I think you and I both know that Tibbs is probably going to get it because he's in New York and brought the Knicks back.
Oh, man. If I had to pick, I mean, I think I would go with Monty Williams and the Suns. But then this is tough because I feel like, all right, if you give, well, I guess we'll talk about it when we get to the MVP. But I think Monty Williams has done an excellent job as far as like changing the culture. But then again, that's the same thing you can say for Tibbs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would give the award to Monty Williams.
I would too. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a squeaker. I think Tibbs has done a great job. I mean, you got to give him the highest of compliments. He's probably going to burn all those kids out in a year or two. Because you know how he just goes ahead and plays the heavy minutes on him. And then also, of course, like you said, with Quinn Snyder at the Jazz. And, of course, Doc Rivers has totally turned around that culture in Philadelphia. But I'd have to say, especially after such tragic things that have happened in his life, yeah. I think Monty Williams is a great choice. And Phoenix has, just like the Knicks, played exceedingly above their expectations. They were probably thinking about sixth, seventh. I think when we started a season, I think you and I, when we had our podcast previewing the season, I think we picked them around fifth, sixth, or seventh, you know, on the back end of the eight-team rotation. Now we've got to go ahead and consider them as a favorite or one of them to go ahead and go really far in the playoffs. And I think a lot of that has to do with Monty Williams.
Yep. I see someone commented, the ball boy from the Pistons can win with the Brooklyn team. I mean, I don't think managing personalities, especially in the NBA, you got three guys. Like, talent-wise, yeah, I get it. But I think Nash and D'Antoni have done a pretty good job as far as, like, managing the personalities. I mean, Kyrie has never been a guy that coaches have had the greatest relationships with. I mean, they've been injured. I don't think they've played 10 games together. They're big three.
I think they played nine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, I mean, not saying that he should win coach of the year, but no. I don't want to underestimate the, you know, how he's been able just to manage.
Quite often he's only had one of the big three in the lineup for a game. So, yeah, he definitely gets some credit.
Bruce Brown at, I don't know what position he plays, whether it's power forward, power guard. He's just out there. But, yeah, I mean, talent-wise, yeah, they're super talented. And I think anything short of going to the NBA Finals would be a disappointment. But, again, you know, Phil Jackson had really, really talented teams, too. I mean, think about the Bulls team now has four Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So
with Tony Kukoc, yeah.
Yeah, so but he did a good job of managing the personality, so I don't want to underestimate that.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Well, there's more to talk about on today's program as we head into the Rookie of the Year. And for quite a bit of the year, it looked like it was a no-brainer with LaMelo Ball and it looked like it was going to be something that was going to be no-brainer, like I said. But over the course of the past month, month and a half, he got injured. Plus, when he came back, he has not been the same or even near it as of yet. And meanwhile, in the last month and a half, Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves has provided a lot of excitement for Minnesota fans. And not all of it was empty calories. Not all of it was empty points, because Minnesota has played better the last month and a half of the season. And things may be looking up for that Minnesota franchise now that...
Can I add that?
Yeah.
Why are they playing good? Like, what are they doing?
No, they played themselves out of a top...
to lose.
Yeah. They played themselves out of a top lottery team. But, you know, it just... When you have that kind of talent there with Towns and Russell and Beasley, they all came back around the same time to start playing with Edwards. You could see that they can compete next year if they're healthy. Would like to play defense. That would be nice if they could do that. But, you know, that may be another story in and of itself. But Haliburton from Sacramento obviously gets some credit as well for being steady all year long before he got injured. But I want to hear your thoughts. It's a lot closer than we thought it would be for the first two-thirds of the season. But who would you have still as the rookie of the year?
I'm doing a 94, like 94 co-rookies, like Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. So I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball. I think they should split.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think the voting will end up like that? Because I don't. I still think LaMelo Ball will still probably get a squeak by on the vote. I think it's close, but I think he'll squeak by.
Yeah, I mean, some could say that it could be similar to Luka and Trae Young. Luka was the front runner early in the year. Trae Young finished strong, but everyone's mind seemed to have been made up by January, which, you know, I think that's a fair assessment. But if it were me, I would do a split, because I feel like Melo had an impact, but then Charlotte seemed to be steady without him. You know, they didn't fall too far in the standing. And that was without Gordon Hayward also. But I feel like Anthony Edwards has the potential to really, really be a special player. And the way he finished the season was strong, and obviously it led to Minnesota winning. It would be pretty awful if they were doing that push for him to win Rookie of the Year and they won too many games and it helps them lose their pick, which gives Golden State another option to retool. But yeah, I would do a split. Haliburton was close. I mean, he was steady, but I don't know, man. The Kings,
I agree with Michael Johnson as far as Ball being number one, but to me, I'd flip-flop Edwards and Haliburton, but it's close. All three are – it's much closer than it was at one period of time when Ball was running away with it. And like you said, Michael Johnson has also agreed with you that they should just hand Golden State the pick now. It's just so funny because, like you said, they should have been tanking. They should have followed the routine of what Cleveland, Oklahoma City, and a couple others, what they were doing as far as the diagram for losing and tanking. And Anthony Edwards has played so well, and they've literally just given themselves a worse chance to go ahead and get Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, but I think Edwards had the most impressive game. That 17 of 22 game was crazy. But he showed flashes of what, you know, made him so highly regarded. And to me, I would just split it simply because I would go first half, second half. And I think they're, Melo was the best rookie in the first half. Anthony Edwards was the best rookie in the second half. Short season, so I'm giving it a split.
Once again, I'm speaking to my good friend Rafael Barlow from the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, NBA Draft Junkies, Dash Radio, all over the place. He is more than just the man with the outro voice on every one of our shows before our first commercial. So just know that. He does so much more. Thank you so much. That outro is so good every time I play it. But wanted to go ahead and hit you up on this sixth man of the year. And I know Jordan Clarkson has been the front runner the entire year, but are you convinced that he is the most effective sixth man, the most effective first individual off the bench for any NBA team? I'm not so convinced on that. Well, I'm not even convinced on his own team.
Well, he's my sixth man of the year. It would be tough to, you know, in my opinion, go against him, because he's played such a big role in everything they have going on in Utah. Like I said, Donovan Mitchell has missed like the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they've been able to maintain the number one seed. Somerset, Phoenix didn't want to be number one, or they were trying to avoid certain matchups. But I just think that from top to bottom, and what a steal. I mean, they traded him for Dante Exum.
Yeah.
And that was.
Where's he at now? I think in Houston, correct? Probably
usual.
Yeah. of course.
But yeah, I mean, I think Clarkson would be my sixth man of the year. But I guess, are you saying Ingles would be your choice?
Ingles statistically is much more efficient. And
yeah, he's having like a crazy, like one of the best, is it one of the best PER yes. years in NBA history or something like that?
That is correct. Yes. So that's what I'm looking at as far as efficiency, because Clarkson has done a whale of a job. I'm not trying to underestimate anything that he's done or brought to the Utah Jazz. He's been a spark plug on many of occasions, but there are also points in time where people have looked to Joe Ingles and he is just super deadly from deep. I mean, if you go into a game right now and two guys are coming off the bench, Joe Ingles and also as well Jordan Clarkson, most of the teams in the NBA are focusing more on Joe Ingles because he scares them more than Jordan Clarkson does.
So I think I'd have to say, in my opinion, it's the other. I think Ingles is the steadier, but Clarkson is a guy that, you know, he's a –
But the Ingles is a guy that can hit. If you know, I mean, you fear him like you fear, not like you fear a Curry, mind you, but just the efficiency as one of the top shooters in the NBA.
Yeah, but I feel like someone has to create those opportunities for him, and the Jazz do a good job of getting him open looks. But Clarkson's like a relentless gunner that, you know, if he gets hot, he can put up 30. So, but what I would like to see though is Joe Ingles win. So he can give his press conference speech in his plain black hat, black t-shirt, and his black Chuck Taylors, and him, you know, just give all these negative jokes about himself. If you ever had a chance to like talk to Joe Ingles, he's probably one of the funniest guys in the NBA. He's hilarious.
He does not take himself seriously. He knows he looks like a school teacher out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's having a great year. And, I think they're going to give it to Clarkson.
Oh, no, I know they're going to give it to Clarkson. He's had all the pub all year long, and his game has not tailed off to the point where people would say, you know what, Ingles or anyone else should get it. There are very few other candidates this year, I think, that could compete with Jordan Clarkson's season. And like you said, at any given point in time, he can go off on 30, and the team in Utah has stayed steady even with Donovan Mitchell out of the ballgame. And that a lot of that is due to Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I also feel like when people think of a sixth man, I think of a guy that is a microwave scorer that comes off the bench. And Jordan Clarkson fits that bill. You know, it's like your Lou Williams or your Vinnie Johnson or those type of guys. So I think he's more so of a, I guess, traditional sixth man in a sense.
I'll tell you what, the next item that we have up for list on the season-ending awards from the Lakers Fast Break, along with my good friend Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, Most Improved Player. Now, this one to me is tougher than More Than Meets the Eye. Obviously, the gentleman that was, I think you said it on a podcast that we did a little while back, that he was riding his bicycle around your building at one point.
I'd see him out my window. The same window I'm looking out right now, I'd see him out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Julius Randle is going to most likely get it. But yeah. I think if you do not go ahead and put Jaylen Brown in that conversation, I think you're doing him a disservice. I think his game has improved dramatically he's not Tatum, but he's darn close.
I don't know. I think some may even take him over Tatum in a sense.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at, like, I mean, Tatum had the hype coming in, so he's more of the bigger name. But I think if you just took away the names and did player A, player B, I think it would be like 50-50. I mean, Brown was a highly regarded prospect. I'm not making it seem like he was like a second-round pick or anything like that. But Tatum was more known. He was the guy that they were crowning to be, you know, the next franchise guy. Why Jaylen Brown has made it definitely close. I mean, I want to say shot like close to 40% from three.
Yeah, both were lottery picks. Both were in top 10 picks, but both I know Tatum. Like
three, I think.
Yeah, I know Tatum is something here at the Lakers fast break we kind of always frown upon because, you know, the Lakers should have picked him. But need I digress on that? And
Brown too.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have picked Brown too. But Brown's game has developed because Brown was not a good shooter coming out of college. And his game has developed so well over the course of the past year. I mean, since the bubble, he's become so much of a different player, not just a very good sidekick for Tatum. Like you said, someone who is at his level, a peer per se, as someone that Boston can rely on. And it was just a shame to see him get injured and it's not going to be available for the playoffs. But I think it going back to who would win, I think if you don't say Julius Randle, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, I think Randle should win. It's crazy. Like, he was probably the most hated Knick at this time last year. Knicks fans absolutely hated him. I remember doing like the Knicks fans TV podcast, and I said, I want Julius in Portland. And I got so many tweets like, we'll help him pack his bags. And because I felt like Portland, and I'm a Blazers fan for the listeners that don't know, but I felt like Portland needed like a four-man that can make plays for others because the Blazers are always ranked near the bottom of the NBA in assist, and Julius can make plays for others. His game, you know, a lot of people may not think his game is the most visually pleasing, but I felt like he would have been a good guy for Portland, but now he's played himself into a situation where it's nearly impossible to get. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to win player of the year. I'm sorry, most improved player. The Knicks are not going to get shut out in the awards.
Yeah, I don't think so either, especially because it's New York. But it's deserved. If somebody says, you know what, Tom Thibodeau wins, it's not deserved, I think they're wrong. He does deserve it. And if Julius Randle wins the most improved player of the year award or gets on one of the all-NBA teams, it's most deserved. He has worked really hard. Like you said, riding a bike. He could be doing that. Well, actually, he's going to be going to the playoffs, so he can't be doing that. He'd have to fly back and forth. But he might be doing that again this offseason if that comes to pass.
Maybe. I mean, I would stick to the same routine. But, yeah, I mean, I went to quite a few of his workouts, and I know, like, for a fact that the workouts that I went to, in order for him to leave or finish, he had to make 30 out of 40 corner threes from each spot. And – you know, that's not easy to do, especially if you're not considered a shooter. You know, maybe if you're Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Durant or Kyrie, 30 out of 40 is pretty easy. But this is a guy who was never really known as a shooter, but he put in the work. And I mean, when I say every time I would go to the particular gym, he was there and he was there working. And it was a long off season, which, you know, in some cases, some guys could have decided to take a break longer than usual. He put in the work. And he ended up, you know, in a good system that was able to showcase all his talents. And he's going to be all NBA. And now he has like a decision to make as far as his contract. I believe there's $100 million difference on if he signs an extension this year or he plays it out and waits until summer of 22.
Oh, I hope he stays healthy. I hope he stays healthy. Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to advise him on what to do when there's $100 million on the line. So exactly. Either way, he's good financially with that. Yeah. He's gonna get it's just the difference between 100, I think it's like 106 and 202, something like that.
Yeah, but I'm rooting for him. You know, I really appreciated his time with the Lakers, but I'm rooting for him because he's a good story. He's worked hard to make himself that level of player. Can he sustain it? We're not sure, but again, if the effort's there, you never know. The results should follow.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like every year Tibbs has a guy that he can put the anointing on, in a sense. I mean, I remember the year, it was 2013-14, that Joakim Noah was like top five in MVP voting, and he was playing point center. And I've seen Tibbs take, you know, a team in the playoffs and just say, hey, Nate Robinson, you're going to be our guy. You're going to be our closer. If he makes you his guy, then – you're going to be successful. And he's found ways to win with whoever the guy is. So, but yeah, Julius would be my choice. I mean, but who else would be in the running between Julius and Jaylen Brown?
To find any more players that have improved, Tim Hardaway Jr. really came on at the end of the season. Yeah. I think people see him in a little bit different light now, but he's not close to those two. I mean, there's no real player that went from a good player to a great player like Jaylen Brown and also Julius Randle. No one else in that context stood out to that, I guess, extreme. SGA, he didn't play enough games because Oklahoma City sat him down. But I think I see him as someone who will be at that level if he's not there already, I think, at some point in time.
Yeah.
Because he's really good. Anybody who hasn't checked out Oklahoma City games with SGA, really got to go ahead and check out, because I think he's Jordan Poole, Jamie Sweet. No, I'm sorry. Wiggins. No, I'm sorry, Jamie Sweet. None of the Golden State Warriors on this most improved list right now. I'm sorry. But we will go ahead and say for now, I think Julius Randle is going to get it. But Jaylen Brown is a very strong second, I think. I think we're both in agreement on that.
Yeah.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
That is by far my favorite, because it's also character-driven and the stakes are high and there's much more of a mystery and intrigue to it.
A game like Wolfenstein, which people are saying are one of the most socially important video games of the past 10 years.
Catch our shows on radio worldwide 7 days a week or at any time on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on over 30 more podcast outlets. Well, the last couple awards are coming up, and that is going to be the All-NBA teams, first, second, and third. So for first
part of it.
Yeah. So here we go for the arguments. The chat board is going to run wild right now. So everybody, you want to put in your names in the chat board, go ahead. But we're going to start with the NBA first team. I'm going to give it over to you, my friend, as if you had to pick five, whoa, like the NBA, you had sent you a ballot to go ahead and fill out. Who is your NBA first team? Man, we'll start off with that.
This is tough. All right. So you have to go with the success the Suns have had. So I go with Chris Paul as my point guard. Oh, man. Center is tough because, you know, you can go with Gobert. You can go with Embiid. You can go with Jokic. And I saw somewhere that both can be listed as fours. I'm going with a traditional All-NBA.
Yeah, like, let's just go with the traditional, because we start getting cute like that. Like, yeah. I know the NBA has gotten a little bit cute in regards to that voting process. It just makes for an even bigger argument. So let's just go with the traditional two guards who mainly play a guard, two forwards who mainly play it forward, and a center.
All right, so I'm going to do it in a weird way. I think it's going to be like the first guy to ever – I think – yeah, all right, so – I'm going with Gobert. It's my first team, which is going to shock people. But Utah's entire system is built around his defense. It's, you take him off the floor. I think he just set a record this year for like plus minus. Like, he is the most impactful player, even though he's not like, you know, his game isn't the sexiest. But it's tough to have the best record in the West and not have a guy that's All NBA, which, I mean, there's a chance that they won't have anybody on the All NBA teams. So I'm going to go with Gobert. And I'm going to go with Jokic based off of the rules allow both of them to play together.
Well, see, now you're changing it. I thought we were going to go traditional.
I thought about it, but then I just.
Oh, yeah, see how you are.
I switched it up at the last minute. Shooting guard. Oh, man. I want to say Harden. But, I mean, he missed like the last month of the season. So I'll go Steph, which should have been. So I got CP3, Steph. I'll take Jokic off. CP3, Steph. I'll go with Luke at the three. And I'm going Julius at the four.
Really? Wow. That's your first team. That's quite a first team. I know it's kind of tough. If you're going traditional for me, because that means you're going to have to cut out one or two top five MVP candidates right there. I'm going to go with Jokic as my center. I'm going to go with Giannis Antetokounmpo as one of my forwards.
He's had like this season that nobody's talking about, and it's just
exactly the whole Milwaukee's been under, because I think they've not met the, you know, like last year they were 60. Before that, they were 60. And they're I guess the rise was not going to be as good. They're going to be, I think maybe if it ended in an 82 game season, they would be somewhere around 55 or something. It was slightly less of what they did last year. That's why they think they've gone under the radar. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is on my first team. Jokic, I'm gonna go with Luka. That third spot, that final fifth spot is going to be very interesting for me. You know, if you left it on a traditional forward sense, that's a good thing to talk about right there, because you've got lots of options. In fact, I will go ahead and make Luka my small forward, and I will go ahead and put Damian Lillard as my fifth right there for you, because I think they've been around all season long and they've got the numbers. I think Chris Paul is right there. I think also as well, Joel Embiid is right there. But I'm going to have to go ahead and say at this point in time, Jokic, Steph, Luka, Giannis, and Dame. I think that's probably going to be my first team right there for you. So with that being said, and we've got some great – I'll let you think about your second team here.
Yeah, I had to write it down.
I'm going to type it in the chat. I'm going to say for while we go ahead and think of our second teams right now, Michael Johnson said for his first team, Jokic, Luka, Steph, Giannis, and Dame. That's similar to mine. In fact, that's exactly mine. So great minds think alike right there. Jamie Sweet had Steph, CP3, Jokic, Mitchell, and Julius. Not too bad at all. Michael Johnson for his second team had Embiid, Randall, Braun, CP3, and Butler. With Braun, to me, it's about the games that have been played. So I'm still kind of thinking in my head for that one. And so that we've got right now. So your thoughts on a second team all NBA?
My second team, I'm going with Harden. I don't even know if we can hold it against guys about their games, because
With Harden, the only thing is the MVP. And you know, I know you're a huge Harden fan. I appreciate his game as well, as one of the greatest offensive players of all time. But also the way he started with Houston, I'm not exactly in love with the way he handled himself right there.
I think that I guess maybe I'm biased. I'm giving him a pass simply because he was the everyone wanted out. I mean, now the stories are coming out from D'Antoni to Maury to Westbrook to, you know, some of the executives. Like, there's something really, really bad that went on there that nobody has mentioned. And I think that Harden just used his power to get him out. I think he was wearing a fat suit, because it was like he looked heavy. And then when he got to Brooklyn, he looked like he got in shape as soon as he got on the plane. But I mean, he was playing phenomenal before he got hurt. And Harden doesn't miss games. Like, he's one of the guys that I feel like is a true Iron Man. And so for him to miss those games, it was, it's just something that he doesn't do. But yeah, I'm going to go Harden. Second team, I'm going with Kyrie. I mean, was he the ninth player in NBA history to have a 50-40-90 season? And I want to say he was the second or third to ever do it, averaging over 25 a game. I want to say maybe it was him Stephen Durant did it. So, I mean, he had a record-setting season. LeBron, Giannis, and Jokic.
There you go. That's a very solid one indeed. For me, second team is Embiid, Julius Randle, Chris Paul, LeBron James, and Kyrie Irving. I think, like you said, Kyrie Irving, those numbers speak for itself. You can say what you want about what he says. And I give him a compliment about, you know, how he has his thoughts right now, what's going on overseas with all the violence going on. And I give him total credit for that. And you could talk about the flat earth and all this other stuff he said in the past. But you know what? His game has done the talking when he's there, when he's not going on personal leave or anything like that. He's actually played the most, I think, of the big three that's been there this year. I think he's played the most games, and he's done quite a whale of a job with 50, 40, 90, like you said, and over 25 points a game. One of the very few to ever do that. So Embiid, Randall, Paul, LeBron, and Kyrie for me, I think, on that one. So
yeah, I think everything Kyrie is doing is strategic. So I actually mentioned on my podcast yesterday, he's playing well. He's playing at a very high level, and he chose to go to the largest media market in the world to use his platform to talk about things that he cares about. And if he was playing bad and if he wasn't productive, then it would the focus would be on how bad he's playing. But he's playing, I mean, you can arguably say this is the best basketball of his career. And while I think it's strategic for him to make it seem like he's just doing it like part-time, like he's just kind of focusing on the world and he's coming out there and dominating games. But I think it's strategic because he has a big platform and he's using it in a way that he feels is positive, which, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people just want him to just talk about basketball and not talk about anything else. But I think it's all strategic for him to do this in New York.
Hey, and again, he's bringing out, in this occasion, he's saying a lot of good things about what people should pay their attention to, and not just basketball at this point in time, especially with what's going on around the world. So definitely agree with him on that one. Want to go ahead while we talk about our third team, All-NBA. Michael Johnson dropped his third team. Gobert, Irving, Booker, Kawhi, and Tatum. Very good five right there for you. So my compliments on that. And I know with that being said, there's a third team All-NBA. For me, this gets a lot harder because there's going to be a name that you're going to leave out that you really don't want to leave out. So I apologize to anybody in advance if I didn't get your favorite player or a player that you think should be in the mix. It is not because it is intentional, but there's just, for this last five spots, there's like 10 players. So you got to try and plug them in. So with that being said, my friend, third team All-NBA for you.
Man, this is tough. It's going to be a lot of guards.
I told you. Is it not going to be easy?
I'm going to go Booker, Mitchell. I can't even go traditional. I don't even think I can go traditional.
Yeah, we thought we were going to go traditional, but you messed that up on the first team. So that's
well, I switched it back because I had Jokic.
Oh, how nice to you.
Yeah, I switched it back.
Tell me.
So Embiid is a lock. And I just feel like it's between Booker, Mitchell, Bill, Dame, Westbrook, Tatum, Paul George had a good year. It's tough. Maybe I need to look at and look and see who would be eligible for a supermax and help somebody get an extra $50 or $60 million.
Exactly.
Man, I don't know. I don't even know if I can go traditional. If I go traditional, I definitely have to put Durant in, which I think he's had an All-NBA caliber season, but he's missed so many games, which, you know, he can make the case for quite a few guys. Jimmy Butler quietly had a really productive year.
Yes, he did.
But he missed quite a few games and got off to like a really, really slow start. And then I think Miami's only like the sixth seed. So Bradley Beal was second in the league in scoring. Donovan Mitchell, I mean, I reward winning. So I feel like, I think it's – going back to non-tradition, I'm going to go Booker, Mitchell, Bill, Dame, and Embiid.
Well, I tell you what, we need like a fourth, All-NBA fourth team like that, if that was the case, if we could do it. And for me, the hardest part is Devin Booker. I don't know where I can fit him in. He's really had an outstanding year, and he deserves a lot of credit, and it's very hard for me to leave him out. And I'm going to probably regret this, but I am going to leave him out. He is going to be right there on the cusp for me, and I'm saying Westbrook, Gobert, Kawhi, George, and Harden. I mean, you can't go wrong, but you're not exactly 100% right because, again, so many players. Tatum is not on my list, and he deserves a lot of credit. And then, like I said, Booker, Mitchell. I mean, there's so many great players. It's so hard because, again, like I said, for that final five spots, there's like 10 players right there.
Did you have Beal?
And Michael Johnson forgot about Beal. Beal, too. He was second in the league in scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about putting Westbrook on that list, but it's like, all right, do you reward two guys that are in the play-in game on your All-NBA team?
Yeah. That's why I added Kawhi and George. Yeah, they missed games, and so did Harden, but at times they were talked about in an MVP fashion, and Booker wasn't really talked about in an MVP fashion.
He should have been. I mean, he averaged – I don't know any player – in history that can average 25 points per game, be the leading scorer on the team with the second best record in the West. And
not being a considered.
Yeah. I mean, he did he even make the All-Star team. I think he was like a if he did make it,
he was added in
for AD.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has to feel like he's underappreciated and undervalued.
He is.
And he's so young. Like this is, I saw something like he's like 3 years younger than Buddy Hield, and they came out in different draft classes or something like that. He's, Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, he hasn't been given enough credit, in my opinion.
Jamie Sweetford has his for team for the second all team. Kyrie, Tatum, Booker, Embiid, Julius. I mean, everybody out there has some great picks. Raphael has some awesome picks. You just can't go wrong. There's just no argument. There's no individual that does not stand out. It's been that good of a year statistically. And I think the way that this pace and space and the way that offense is at a premium right now in the NBA, you're going to find more and more individuals like that who stand out. I didn't even put Kevin Durant. Like you said, he missed a lot of games, but when he was in there, he was playing at a great level. So I don't know. It's just so hard to choose this year. Anthony Davis did not have the year I was hoping for until the very end, so I could not put him on there. He was somebody that would normally be on there and be considered. So,
yeah, I feel like he just
didn't play, not this year.
Yeah, he just didn't have the same energy.
Yeah.
As he had.
I think that turnaround did a lot for him as far as that's concerned. Jamie Sweet's third team was LBJ, Gobert, Russ, Beal, and Draymond. Draymond Green, that's a surprise, especially someone who was so bad at the beginning of the season as far as the scoring is concerned. Picked it up to the point where it's acceptable, but obviously he's there for his defense and playmaking skills.
I mean, he averaged a career high. I think he set a record this year for most assists per game for an NBA history for a front court player. If he did do it, well, I think him and Jokic probably broke the record.
Yeah, definitely a great season indeed by both those guys. So that comes down finally to our last award of the Lakers Fast Break season ending awards. And that is the MVP, which I know we're going to make someone angry, as only you and I can do. So I want to hear your thoughts, my friend, on the contenders to the MVP and who your ultimate MVP will be.
In my opinion, the MVP is the candidates are made up prior to the season. And if you're not one of those guys that they had already projected to be in that list, it's going to be hard to crack it. So Jokic was on that short list with Bron or AD and Luka.
Luka was a favorite coming in. He was an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah, if the Mavs didn't get off to that slow start,
yeah,
they were like 9-14. I remember, like, out of their first 20 games they played, only Luka and maybe one other person had played in 12. Like, COVID and injuries kind of got them off to a slow start. But they finished strong. I mean, they finished fifth seed after being below 500. I thought he was just as productive as last year. He improved as a shooter. But in my opinion, everybody's going to go with Jokic. But the player that I think is the most valuable is Chris Paul. And the reason why I don't think he's going to get it is because he wasn't on that short list prior to the season. But I mean, as far as impact and taking the Suns team that hadn't been to the playoffs since, I mean, Obama was the president, he's had the biggest impact. So that was who I would give for the MVP. And Phoenix, one of the reasons Phoenix has been so good this year is because I feel like, and I could be wrong here, they are one of the teams that remain healthy most of the season. I don't remember them having like any of their top players miss any significant time. Mm-hmm. I think that has played a role in why they have such a good record. But I would say Chris Paul, even though I don't think he'll get it. I mean, I think the MVP is going to go to Jokic.
Yeah, I think the MVP is going to go to Jokic. I'm actually also leaning personally on Jokic because he's been there game in, game out for Denver, and he's been everything for them this year. With Murray inconsistent play at the start of the season, then he finally really started to get going, and then once he started to really get going, unfortunately it fell short with his devastating knee injury, and I hope he's able to recover and be the player that he once was. And Denver was still able to go ahead and maintain a very good record. As you know, I think they were like 9-1 after he got injured. A lot of that is due to Jokic. And I'll tell you what, I got to go ahead and give it to him in my personal opinion. Paul is obviously for me as well a top five candidate because of what he's brought and the mentality that he's brought to Phoenix and put them in that realm. I also got to think you got to consider Joel Embiid as a number two slot right there. And Steph, number three, I'd say Paul, number four, And number five, I think at this point in time, because they're based on their records, I'd probably go as a number five, Luka. I think just because of the records in the end that they were to finish, you know, in the standings just above what Dame did. So,
yeah, you can't go wrong either way. I know Paul is not going to have the numbers. Like, I try to compare it to Steve Nash's MVP seasons, and even though the pace is a lot faster today than it was there, Chris Paul's numbers don't even, you know, match up to Steve Nash. I want to say Nash averaged like 11 assists or something like that. So Jokic is going to win because he has the numbers, but I just feel like, you know, it's second best record in the West, and he is the glue. Even though some may say, well, you know, Phoenix finished strong last year. I think they won like what, their last 9 in a row in the bubble. So they were trending in that direction. But I think that they have overachieved. I think if you start at the beginning of the year and you said Denver was going to be a third seed, I don't think anybody would have been too shocked by that.
Yeah.
But for Phoenix, number two, it's Chris Paul deserves a lot of credit for that.
We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, once again, it's my good friend Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies Radio, and of course, the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Please check out all of his work today. He has shows dropping every Monday and Thursday. Dash Radio, I believe, is also on Monday. And of course, NBADraftJunkies.com, NBA Draft Junkies on YouTube. Please be part of this whole Rafael Barlow experience. It's no longer NBA Draft Junkies. It's the Rafael Barlow experience that encompasses the multimedia aspect. And I'm hoping that you can add on that video aspect as well. So you can you know, latch on with a great sports network, and you can be that man that they go to as far as their draft expert. And so I'm rooting for you, my friend. Definitely rooting for you indeed. But before we head on out, there are two games I want to go ahead and do a preview on tomorrow. And that is the play-in games already. Just, you know, turn around, season's over, right into the play-in games. I want to hear your thoughts on, first off, the Charlotte-Indiana matchup, with Indiana at the number 9 slot hosting Charlotte. Charlotte, I know you said they were doing okay in his absence, but I think they kind of fell a little bit down because they were up as high, I think, as 4 or 5, I remember at one time, when they were really doing well. And they're now number 10. So they have fallen a little bit, but I want to hear your thoughts on Charlotte. Can they go ahead and pull off this victory at Indiana? Indiana has some disarray. The coach has had some hard times as of late. They do have some injury issues that they need to address as well. So can they pull off the upset in Indiana tomorrow?
I think so. But before I get into my question, I want to ask you a question. I want to flip it.
Oh, here
I'm
we go.
I'm so used to being the interviewer now.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the play-in tournament? Like, it's such a divisive topic now. You know, there are people that are saying, well, nobody complained about it until their team or until they were
exactly
in.
Exactly.
So how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, as of course, Lakers Fast Break, and I'm a huge Lakers fan, and I know a lot of Lakers fans out there are not too pleased about the setup, but I think you got to be, I think you've known me by now. I look at the overall benefit and overall negative values of anything. And at first I was like, you know, way back when they first started talking about it, I was like, I don't know. But you know what? As the season has gone on, it's created excitement and it's created interest and it's created a buy-in from teams 7, or actually teams 5 through 12, for at least the past couple of weeks. Fans of these teams have paid attention to what's going on. Can they make the playoffs? Can they make the play-in? Are they going to fall into the play-in? You know, all these different scenarios. It's created that interest and excitement at the end of the season that a lot of times is not generated by the normal regular season. So the NBA deserves a pat on the back. The only thing I've ever said in the past month or so about it is that they needed to make it more understandable to a general audience, not to the NBA hardcores, to a general audience, because for many weeks, it was hard for them to explain, okay, the seventh plays the eighth and the ninth plays the 10th. And then if, you know, one loses and then it would seem a little bit complicated when you tried to explain it. If it took you longer than a minute to explain it, that's a little bit too complicated. So they should have made it just 7 through 10, 8 to 9, and there you go. That's, to me, it was a little bit simpler if they did that. But outside of that, again, the play-in concept itself, I think, is a win for the NBA, and I think it's here to stay. And I like it. I really like it because it's created that interest among that bottom tier. And you know what? The Lakers, they ended up that way. They've got to play it. You know what? They got to go ahead and win for the championship from there. That's what they got to do.
Yeah, I think there's a divide because it's exciting for the fans, but I don't think the players like it.
Oh, no, they don't.
The players care until they're in that position to where they have to play in it. I mean, like I said, I think it's good. I mean, I'm going to be tuning in. It feels like the playoffs start like a week or so early because I think in a normal year, the Lakers aren't bringing Bron back. Or Davis, like the game yesterday against the Pelicans, I don't think they would have played if there wasn't like play-in implications.
Yeah.
But as far as your original question, man, that's, it's going to be a good game. I think Charlotte should win. I think Charlotte should win. I feel like they have a little bit more firepower on offense. Indiana's been, you know, disappointing. I mean, they have had injuries. You know, TJ Warren was a big player for them last year in the bubble. LeVert, they made the trade, and then LeVert wasn't there, you know, the first, I don't know, maybe month or two, something like that, when they made the trade. So, I mean, those two guys are guys that are 20 points per game scorers, or, you know, are a threat to score 20 or 30 every night. Not having them on the floor definitely hurts. I still think the fit between Sabonis and Miles Turner isn't the most ideal as far as like complementing each other. I don't know which direction they're going to go or how long they're going to, you know, keep them together. But I think Charlotte has a little bit more firepower. And also, if you're like a conspiracy theorist, you know, Adam Silver would much rather have LaMelo Ball and Charlotte in the playoffs as opposed to the Indiana Pacers. There's nobody on Indiana that I think the NBA would consider being marketable or exciting or fun to watch. So if you get Hornets versus, I mean, who would they play? Nets or Hornets versus Sixers or something like that. I mean, I think people will watch because, you know, every year in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, you always have like this number one seed and they're playing, you know, that 5 o'clock game on NBA TV that nobody cares about. I think LaMelo in the playoffs would generate some buzz.
Well, I agree with you, my friend. I think Charlotte is going to take it. I think they'll upset Indiana, and I think Nate Bjorken is not going to be long as the coach of the Indiana Pacers. I think if that happens, and if that's the case, sorry to hear that, but then they got to go ahead and split those two up. Like you said, they're not a great match with each other as far as Sabonis and Turner are concerned, and maybe Turner will be, you know, traded to the Blazers or the Lakers. Let's hope the Lakers for me, and let's hope for the Blazers for you, because that would be a great compliment. I think Turner would be an outstanding player on either of those teams if that happens. But let's go into what we think would be a good 7-8 matchup is going to be the Washington Wizards really riding off a high, played their way in, earned every bit of it, and after a dismal beginnings with COVID injuries, the whole nine yards, they've come back strong, and they're playing in Boston, a depleted Boston team. Jaylen Brown, of course, we talked about as being out. I think Washington, if Beal can play, I know Beal's got his hamstring issues. If Beal can be effective, I think there's no stopping Wizards in this game.
Does Washington have enough firepower if one of those guys is cold? But this Boston situation, I feel like, hasn't been talked about enough. You know, a lot of people are disappointed in their season. Even when Brown was healthy, they've underachieved. And I feel like Brad Stevens has got some heat from some people. But if you look at their roster, if they would have decided to pay Horford what he was getting on the open market, that would get like $110 million, or if they would have paid Hayward the $120 million, they would have been better. But people would have been like, why would you pay those guys $200 and something million? They made the choice of not paying those guys, and now their roster is depleted. And, you know, you have, I think, Tatum and Brown have overlapping skill sets in a sense. Kemba hasn't been healthy. So I think they're just in this weird predicament, because fans wouldn't have been happy if they, and I mean, they would have been on the hook paying those guys. And then they let them go, which I don't think anybody was sad about, but this is what happens. Now you're, you know, you're one of your guys get injured, and now you really have like one go-to scorer in a sense. So
plus they have that cachet, a real large cachet of draft picks over the past 5 years that, for the most part, I'm not going to say there's been a couple good picks in there, but for the most part has been squandered by Danny Ainge. I think you can blame Brad Stevens a little bit, but I think the blame should go a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, I think he gambled on Memphis, because I think last year's pick was projected to be a lottery pick. Like, who would have thought Memphis was going to be a, you know, playoff a pretty team. Good team. So yeah, I mean, that pick ended up being like 14 or 15, which I'm sure they were projecting it to be number two or number three. In my opinion, I feel like Ainge was hoarding all of those picks for Anthony Davis. And the Lakers came in and swooped him up. And, you know, his dad made the comment that he wasn't going to play there. So I think that gamble really, really hurt them. I think maybe before people thought that they should have traded it for Paul George. But I think he saw AD as the big prize and he gambled. And, you know, once AD became technically a free agent, he wasn't. You know, he was already signed, sealed, and delivered to the Lakers. So, I mean, that, looking back at it, you can say that was a mistake. But yeah, I mean, they're in a tough situation, because if you just look at their roster, some of the guys that are playing rotation minutes for them, they're not quality rotational players on the playoff team. Like, after Tatum, Brown, Smart, Walker, I think there's a significant drop off from there. And I mean, Fournier's been good, but
yeah,
a lot of overlapping skill sets.
So you think in the end, tomorrow night's game is going to happen? I think Washington is going to win personally. Who do you have?
Oh, man, I feel like you put me on the hot seat today.
Well, that's what we're all about here at the Lakers Fast Break, my friend.
I think Washington has the momentum right now. Okay. And I think that they'll win. Scottie Brooks has survived another year. Man, I think last year I felt like he may have been done. He was able to, you know, get the benefit of the doubt because Wall was gone. Then they got off to such a slow start this year. He was able to weather the storm.
I remember him making the comments that he would wave high through a window at his players because of all the COVID restrictions.
Yep. So that saved him. And I mean, it's his man. Like, it's the same guy that's been with him for years in Oklahoma City, was able to save his job again. I just think Washington has the momentum. But like you said, it all depends on Bill. Like, how's that hamstring? It can tighten up, you know, in any minute during the game. Yes. And then
same thing with Harden. Same thing with a couple other players as well, with the ankles, with the Lakers, with both Davis and LeBron. That can happen anytime.
I mean, I think the difference is, I think Harden was probably ready to play, but Brooklyn has the talent to where, you know, we can rest him until we feel like he's close to 100%. I think they've been doing that pretty much most of the year, other than Harden had the game and he must have came back for like a quarter. But I think, I mean, they have the luxury and the talent to be able to be a little cautious. Washington doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's the big difference. But yeah, I mean, they have the momentum. And I mean, one of the most underrated trades at the deadline was getting Daniel Gafford. I know he's not starting, but he's given them like a vertical lob threat. He's given them, you know, some athleticism. I feel like Washington is probably like the, outside of Westbrook, like one of the least athletic teams in the NBA. So he's been able to give them some athleticism in the front court and just kind of stretch the floor vertically. And because, you know, Russ is getting downhill, but if you give Russ a guy that he can lob the ball to, I think it makes him a threat. So yeah, I'm gonna go Washington.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, some very deep insight there. Once again, it's Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast, Dash Radio, and so much more. Please check out all the great stuff that he's doing today on all those outlets. But before we go, I do want to mention that we will be back tomorrow to go ahead and preview both Western Conference play-ins. So we're going to go ahead and do that with Jamie Sweet. I think it's going to stop by, Laker Tom and the whole gang. Rafael, if you want to drop by later on in the week after all the play-ins are done, I want to go ahead and preview the NBA playoffs. So if you're interested, you're always welcome. You know the red carpet's always out for you, my friend. So if you ever have time, because I know you're busy with all the stuff you're doing, but if you want, you're welcome back at any point in time.
Yeah, I'll join in tomorrow.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm gonna do around 6 p.m. Pacific if that works for you.
6 p.m. Okay, yep, that works.
9 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Okay, sounds good. But before we head on out, my friend, you got to tell everybody why they need to check out all your tremendous array of experiences. Again, if you get video, that's going to be added one more. I mean, your resume. You've already had this huge resume of all this great content. And then in the past 2 years, it's been like double. So tell me all about what you're doing and why people need to check out what you got.
Well, I guess I can thank COVID for that, because if it wasn't for COVID, I'd be probably in some other country somewhere. But NBA Draft Junkies, it's like draft season. I've been able to go to a few workouts, so I plan on having some content of exclusive workouts. I have a few videos that I need to edit. I've already put one up. It was Kofi Cockburn, the 7-foot man child from Illinois. So I had a chance to watch him up close and personal. Got the podcast, like you mentioned. It's on Locked On NBA Draft. It's every Monday and Thursday. And then a YouTube channel, NBA Draft Junkie. So what I'm starting to do now is just scale the content. So if you miss it on Locked On, if you want to see the visual version, it's on YouTube. I'll break it up into 3 segments so you don't have to watch a whole 30-minute video on YouTube. Some people may like it, but I guess I'm stealing it from DJ Vlad, in a sense, even though I hate it when he has like an hour-long interview and he breaks it up into 25 parts and it takes a whole month to watch the whole interview, but it seems to be pretty successful for him. I won't do it into that, but yeah, I thought about it today. It's not in concrete, but I may do, you know, for my podcast, break it up into 3 different segments, so that way I have at least 6 different videos at the minimum during the week. And some people are more visual and they prefer to watch as opposed to listening. So that's the plan. And then I just got to update my website and I should be doing a mock draft 2.0 pretty soon. It's been pretty busy. It's been really busy, and busy is good, I guess.
Well, there you go. That busy is good indeed. But also for me on the NBA draft, I've got my big board just about ready. In fact, I've got my 30 names. I'm just filling out the description. So I'm just about there and just about ready to showcase that on Lakerholics.com and a very great amount of places. In fact, I'm going to talk to you and see if I can drop it on Hoopheads and also Pop Culture Cosmos. So look out for that. So you and I will be also, when we get those finalized lottery and the mock drafts, we can start going with the mock drafts. So definitely going to bring you back for that as well. I know that's your busiest time is when the mock drafts begin. So I'm looking forward to hearing more great podcasts from you at the Locked On Podcast Network, both Mondays and Thursdays. Is that correct?
Yep. I think there's a gap or there's an opening on Friday. So I may, depending on how I feel, maybe occasionally drop some on Fridays also. So I have to check with the show coordinator for that, but I think it's a possibility.
Friday is always a good day to drop something. Take it from someone who knows. There seems to be a great audience on Friday.
Really?
Saturday and Sunday, kind of iffy, but Friday people check out stuff. So it's the end of the work week.
All right. Well, I need to add that. Gotta work.
There you go. People love talking about the NBA draft. They love hearing what you got. Once again, it's Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, Dash Radio, also as well the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. There isn't anything that this man doesn't know about the NBA draft. International prospects are his specialty. But also he knows all the stuff that's going on with the college graduates, high schoolers, and everything else. For anything NBA draft, there's no better place to go than the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. All right. Well, Jamie Sweet, also as well, want to thank so much. So many people that were part of the chat today. Michael Johnson, want to go ahead and also give a big shout out to Kevin Samani, Lachelle C. Johnson, V. Garcia. He was on here as well. Cannot thank everybody enough. And if you want to go ahead, check out everything that Raphael does and everything that we do here at the Lakers Fast Break. If you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter also as well. He's at Barlow 500 and at NBA Draft Junkies on Twitter. And of course, Lakers Fast Break at yahoo.com. My friend, I will see you tomorrow for the preview of the Western Conference play-in game. So we'll see how that goes. And also, if we get a chance as well, and if we're it's not too late, we'll go ahead and wrap up the Eastern Conference to tell everybody and give everybody an update on that. So looking forward to hearing your thoughts and also everyone else's. And we'll be back tomorrow right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.